I want you to think this morning of your life as an airplane flight. We have all taken off. We have all been born. We're flying somewhere. We are all at different stages in our flights, for none of us know how long we will live. How has your flight been so far? Where are you headed? More importantly, how do you think you will land? How do you think you will finish? Where will you land? Preparation needs to be made now for a good landing, an end to a good flight. We looked last week at the passage out of Exodus showing us the sovereignty of God. Hold to that belief. God is sovereign over everything and everyone. This week, practice the single-minded devotion to Jesus. Turn with me, if you have not already, to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church to catch them up on what was going on in his life and ministry. And also, he wrote it because they risked losing their focus. There was some false teaching going on around them. And some of the people were out of sorts with each other. So in this section, he lifts up his own life and relates to them his life purpose. A single-minded devotion to Jesus. Philippians 3, let's start reading in verse 1. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. A good flight. A life that is a good flight. A good flight will never be accomplished through self-reliance. Paul starts out this section and he says, be devoted to Jesus, rejoice in the Lord. Be devoted to Jesus, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And it's not based on circumstances. He says, rejoice in the Lord. The Jews had come in. Paul had been to Philippi, and he was not there now. And so he's writing to them, and he's hearing about all the things going on in the church and around the area. And the Jews had come back in, and three times Paul warns them about their teaching, a teaching which was based on self-reliance of works. And some of you may be in that very spot. I thought Terry Bradley said it well. You can go to church all your life, and you're still not a believer until there's been a heart transaction, until the Holy Spirit has come and brought conviction on your life. But here they are. Here these Jews are. They're preaching the law, and they were talking about circumcision as a sign of keeping the covenant of law. Paul, on the other hand, had preached Christ and faith in Christ as the means of justification in God's eyes and the means of salvation. So this morning, just to answer the question, on whom are you relying? Are you relying on yourself, or are you relying on Christ? He says again, rejoice in the Lord. They had focused on the external, Paul on the heart. Their worship was external, Paul's was of the heart. Where worship is done by the Spirit of God, and the glory is on Christ. They had confidence in themselves. They had confidence in themselves. Paul had confidence in Christ and Christ alone. If the church would rejoice in Christ, they would discover a positive attitude that would save them from the murmurings, from the dissensions and all the other ills plaguing them. There are way too many churches in America, particularly in the South. And it's all because people do not rejoice in the Lord. It's all because of the murmurings and the dissensions, because we're not focused on Christ. Maybe you've heard the joke. It's really not that funny, even though you'll probably laugh. The man was on a deserted island. He had been shipwrecked. Someone finally found him, and when they got to the shore, they looked up, and here are two buildings. And they said, well, what are these? He said, that's my old church, and this is my new church. And they said, two churches? There's only one of you. Yeah, I had to leave the first one. Well, a few of you got it. And we're that way. We're that way. And what we need to do is get back to what Paul is saying, that we need to focus on Christ. They had confidence in themselves. Paul had confidence in Christ. And Paul said, if anyone has a means or a right to self-reliance, it would be me. And he said, I don't. He had had all the advantages of birth, of religion, of position, of achievement. He had all the advantages. And he knew it was not enough. He could not rely on himself. I heard about an editor who was talking with an author who was known for having a very high regard for himself. And the author said to the editor, he said, you know, my books are selling very well. I'm getting rich, but I think my work is falling off. And the editor replied, nonsense. You write as well as you ever did. Your taste is improving, that's all. Oswald Chambers said, nothing blinds the mind to the claims of Jesus Christ more effectually than a good, clean living, upright life based on self-realization, or as I have termed it, self-reliance. For a thing to be satanic does not mean that it is abominable and immoral. The satanically managed man is moral, upright, proud, and individual. He is absolutely self-governed and has no need of God. This morning, the challenge that I am laying before you is, do you have a sense of your need of Jesus Christ? What I am challenging you to today is a renewed emphasis on pursuing Christ. My challenge to you is to quit depending on yourself. Quit relying on yourself and rely on Christ and Christ alone. When you were young, it may be your strength, your energy, your ambition, your accomplishments, your power, your goodness of virtuous, your virtuous self. But when you're older, your accomplishments and all that you've done don't mean anything. Either way, Christ is excluded. Maybe you're like Paul, depending on your birth, your citizenship, your accomplishments. You know, in all my years of ministry, I still do not know what a good church worker is. Have you ever heard someone described that way? Oh, they were a good church worker. Did that mean that they poured Kool-Aid with a certain flair that I don't seem to understand or have? It was in my first full-time church. There was a lady in the community that was a member of the church. And let me tell you, folks, there's a problem if you're a member of a church and the pastor's never met you because you've never darkened the door. There's a problem. Well, anyway, one day down at the ball field, I ran into this lady. And we talked a minute, and, you know, I introduced myself and didn't really say anything about her coming to church, but, you know, it was already out there on the table. She knew who I was. She said, "Well, I believe in a buzzard religion." Now, that's the first and only time I've heard that description. I should have said, "Ma'am, you have no religion. You have yourself, and that's it." Are you like that? Depending on yourself? Be single-minded in your devotion to Christ. Fly a good flight. A good flight's mission is to fulfill your life's purpose. Again, be devoted to Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Have you ever considered what your life's purpose is? As I thought about how to form this message, I thought too about setting the arc of your life. You know, these kids that come down, that we have an opportunity to minister to, and the kids that we see on Wednesday nights and the kids that we're going to see in Good News Clubs, we have the opportunity to help set the arc of their life. If you were to shoot a bow and arrow and you wanted to shoot it a long ways, you would have to aim up to set the arc to carry it that far. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. What is the arc of your life? Where is it headed? If you remain... What is the purpose of your life? Let me give you a definition about purpose of life. It is what you can accomplish if you remain healthy and active or become a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. Paul considered his life. Paul considered his status and his accomplishments. In what might have seemed like an advantage to others, he counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Look back at verse 5. He said, "I was circumcised the eighth day." His parents got everything right. That was the Jewish law, that a male child, once he was born, 8 days after he was born, was to be circumcised. His parents got it right. Then he said, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He wasn't somebody that had said, "You know what, I think you Jews have got it right, and I want to be a Jew." No, he was born, a part of it, of the tribe of Benjamin. And Benjamin was one of the special ones. It was the special tribe. All this, he said, as to the law, a Pharisee. Now, let me tell you, there are sticklers. There are people that measure twice and cut once. Blake Arnold, did you catch that? He needed to have measured twice and cut once. They measured umpteen times and only cut once. The Pharisees had it right. They kept the law. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But he says, I count it all as rubbish. Now, let me let you use your imagination for a minute. What is it in this world that you do not want to touch, smell, or be around? That's how Paul looked at it. Rubbish. Rubbish. And he goes on to say that he considered all things as loss in comparison to knowing Christ. Knowing Christ is more important than anything and everything else. In verses 10 and 11, Paul shares his purpose. His purpose in life. What would finish the flight of his life. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. He said, I have set the course of my life on knowing Christ intimately, and I want to know Christ. Paul said he wanted to know the power of the resurrected Christ in him. And knowing the death of Christ as he died to himself, his fleshly desires, knowing Christ was his life's purpose. My challenge to you this morning is for you to set your heart and mind on knowing Christ intimately, intimately. Remember Joshua in the Old Testament? The man who took over after Moses of leading the people, he had been a great leader of Israel. He had led them to victory after victory as the Lord gave them the promised land. And toward the end of his life, he gathers all the people together. And he calls for the leaders of the different tribes to come closer. And he recounts for them the history that God had worked in their hearts and lives. And then he challenges them. He challenges them to worship and honor and serve the Lord with all their heart. Not letting any idol come in the way. And then he stated his life's purpose. You've heard it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was his life's purpose. What is your life's purpose? What is your life's purpose today? As I said, it is what you can accomplish if you remain healthy or are stricken with the worst disease or condition that you can imagine. What is more important to you than anything else? Is it knowing Christ? Do you have a real sense of your need of Him? Or is it kind of like, you look at life kind of like at the end of a good meal and you think, boy, I don't want anything else to eat. I don't need anything else. You need Christ every day, every day. So what are you doing to know Christ? It doesn't just happen. I've admitted to you more than once, my try of osmosis. You know, you go to class, you take notes, you put the notes under your pillow the night before the test, and you're going to get it. No, it doesn't work that way. What are you doing to know Christ? Or is having a good time, enjoying yourself, more important? Is being accepted by the crowd more important than knowing Christ? A follower of Christ is to know one thing, the purpose for their life. And then they're to stick to it. Be single-minded about it. It will make for a good flight. A good flight then will be accomplished if you never, never, never quit following Jesus. Paul said to them, be devoted to Jesus, rejoice in the Lord, follow Jesus. Think like, act like, become like Jesus. Paul knew he had not made it. Paul knew that he had not arrived spiritually. Christ is too great to grasp in a lifetime. And instead of thinking back on his past or looking to the future, he didn't let anything think otherwise. He said, I've forgotten all of it. I look back. It's behind me. So what are you doing to grow in Christ? What are you doing to come to know him? He said, I press on. Forgetting what lies behind, I press on toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Let me see if I can give a bit of a physical example of that. I'm going to lift this up. Chair, what do you even call it? This is how most of us do. Oh, well, I just can't do it. Well, you know, my back hurts. It just kind of... No, he said, get a hold of the thing. That's heavier than I thought it was. But what are we doing to grow in Christ? What are you doing to grow in Christ? Well, you know, you preach every once in a while and make sense. I tell visitors that, you know, once I introduce myself, I'll try to make sense, but no guarantees. It doesn't matter how much sense I make. If you are not growing in Christ every day, if you are not in His Word every day, you're drifting. Well, I just can't memorize stuff. It's because we don't try. It's because we don't try. Paul knew he belonged to Christ. And he said, I am never going to quit following him. Many, if not most of you, know the name Johnny Erickson Tada. This past summer marked 50 years since Johnny jumped into the Chesapeake Bay and became the quadriplegic. In an interview in Christianity Today, she was asked, at the time of your diving accident, you were just 17 years old. If you could speak to the young woman you were at that age, what would you most want to say? Johnny said, as a young girl, I was so distracted, so enamored, so fascinated, so infatuated. The world was before me and I had so many options. If I could go back, I'd take myself by the shoulders and shake them and say, look at me, Johnny, listen. Love Jesus more. Obey him more. Follow him more closely, not at a distance. Don't second guess the Holy Spirit's whispers and convictions in your heart. Don't make your own decisions without checking in with God. Follow him much more closely. Did her description of herself strike close to home? Are you distracted? Are you enamored? Are you fascinated, infatuated by something of the world? Even your own comfort and pleasure? You may have started well, but what about now? Let me tell you, one of the courses, of all the courses I've taken in my life, the one that still speaks to me, that I think about on a pretty regular basis, was one of the courses that I took in my D-Men work. And it talked about, that's where this idea of finishing well first came into my mind. And the professor, the teacher said, most men especially do not finish well. It's because we work all of our life for accomplishments. We want to work and save and be able to retire and enjoy ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you've quit following Jesus, there's something wrong. We need to follow Christ. Every one of us. Every one of us. I read God's word this morning. Did you? I've studied God's word this week, and I look forward to 5 o'clock when we get to come together and let the proverb come true that iron sharpens iron. I look forward to the opportunity to really think through what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you've not ever come to really study the names of God, then you need to be in the other Bible study. But what are you doing to grow? What are you doing to become like Christ? Don't ever think I've arrived. Don't ever think it's time for me to quit. Some take the shotgun approach to life. Others a center fire approach. Do you get what I mean by that? Some of us just kind of shoot at everything. What Paul said is I shoot at Christ. I aim towards Him. Are you aiming towards Him? Some try to be involved in a lot of things where only one thing really matters. The lazy are the busy because they don't know what is really important. So how is the flight of your life going? Can you spot false teaching, teaching that goes against God's word? And I guarantee you, if you turn on Christian television this morning, you heard some. Can you spot false teaching? Are you out of sorts with anyone? Will you continue to rely on yourself, your supposed goodness? Have you determined the purpose of your life, that which will push you toward the rest of your life? Have you thought about quitting? It's not an option. It is not an option. Will you press on toward the mark of knowing Jesus intimately? Will you press toward that mark of knowing Him fully the rest of your life? We need to live our lives in such a way that it is a good flight. I hope some of you are squirming as bad as I am. Because there have been times where I have wanted to quit. There have been times that I have just wanted to walk away. There have been times when I've said, you know what, all this stuff is just more than I want to deal with. And I make a resolution to you, and I hope you join with me, that I am going to press on toward the high mark of following Jesus Christ, of knowing Him better. Will you join with me in that?